4 minutes past 11. It's the third and final hour of the 9 till noon show, and we have a very, very important function to fulfil at this point, because Highland Radio is partnering with Cumasún na mBan in launching a new podcast series dealing with topics of sustainability. It's ours to protect, a unique and exciting audio project. It's a collaboration of local and regional broadcasters from across the country. And the idea would be that there are national issues, but there are also local issues. And the idea is that in each local area, the local issues will be teased out and national issues will be discussed as well. Now, the whole thing is being coordinated by my colleague in the newsroom, Donna Marie Doherty. It seems really weird, actually, Donna Marie, that I am now going to interview you like as a guest on the show.
Oh, it is. It is. I'm not a bag of nerves, though I am, but I think it is just being on the other side.
And yes, in case you're wondering, yes, this is the same Donna Marie who read the news at 7, 8, 9, 10 and 11 this morning. But Donna Marie, you're heading up this particular project. So first of all, tell us, Ours to Protect, what is it?
Ours to Protect is going to be a weekly 5-minute segment. It's going to happen at 12:30 every Tuesday. And it's to look at things that people can do every day to make their life a bit more sustainable. The idea is that there's only one planet. It is ours to protect. To be completely transparent, I'm learning as well as I go of things that I can do. We did have, it's a quiz. It's kind of like a quiz that you can do, and it tells you how many planets it would take if everybody lived the way that you did. And I was absolutely mortified with myself. So I was... So we'll be talking with like an expert every week, and they'll let us know little tips and tricks, and it will all be available. There's a website, there's a page on our own website on Highland, and there's also the irstoprotect.ie, and it's in conjunction with other local radio stations. So there'll be an absolute plethora of information for people.
Now, a man who is no stranger to the 12:30 on a Tuesday or any day slot on Highland Radio is a voice you'll hear often on Around the Northwest with John Breslin, and that's Aengus Kennedy, who is a lead guide with Nature Northwest. Aengus, good morning to you.
I'm Donald, how are you doing? And hello, everybody.
Hi. Aengus, important from your point of view as someone who keeps an eye on the ecosystem of Donegal, on the wildlife of Donegal, on the fauna, as it were, of Donegal and the flora as well. This is an important issue. It's an issue that needs to be discussed.
It's a huge issue. Sustainability, climate change, biodiversity, we hear all these different big words, big topics, but really it's all about climate change. We're warming up the planet by burning fossil fuels, and biodiversity loss. We're losing a huge amount of the living things that are out there that we rely on. And the two issues are hand in glove. They're both tied in with each other. So getting an opportunity to discuss it is just brilliant.
The other two guests we have in studio this morning for this launch panel are Suzanne Bogan, who's the Environmental Officer with Donegal County Council. And we'll get to you in a moment, Suzanne. And Gerard McCormick, who's the co-chair of Tidy Towns in Letterkenny. And the name McCormick synonymous for many, many years with Tidy Towns in Letterkenny. And Gerard, you're, I suppose, really the one who's at the coalface. You're the one literally keeping an eye on the streets and the environment around Letterkenny in particular every day, and taking action to make sure that it's improved.
Well, I would say I'm representing the people that do that. But yeah, we try and do that. And our competition that we enter is Tidy Towns. And people kind of think of it sometimes as a flowers and litter competition. And it's a lot bigger than that there. I mean, sustainability and biodiversity that Aengus was talking about has a huge part to play in that. And a lot of our work has, has over the years moved, transformed into that type of looking at sustainability plans and how we can do things better and how we can improve the planet and how we improve biodiversity as well. So those, as Inga said, they're hand in hand, and we do a lot of work in that field as well, or we try to do anyway.
And one of the things people would have noticed, that particularly around Letterkenny, in the past couple of weeks, if not months, is the appearance of signs in some areas with biodiversity area on them. And I know you're central in actually getting that signage up and making sure that there are areas. I know there was a no mow May, idea in progress to say that, look, a nicely manicured lawn is all very well, but bees need access to flowers, bees need lawns, and we need to sort of sit back and think, are there things I can do on my front lawn that can help here?
That's right, and they've been very successful. And I remember about 4 years ago having a discussion with some of the council officials, and they basically would have said at that stage, there's nobody talking about this. You know, we don't know where you're coming from, but we're 4 years in further down the road, and we're very much talking about it. We're very much doing it. We're very much working with the council with that. And I think a big part of it, I think David Donnelly, our town gardener, has done it very well. What he's done, he's created kind of wavy borders between the, they're not just direct straight lines between the cut grass and the uncut grass, which is there for the biodiversity reasons. And I think the big part of it is, you know, you need to communicate with the signs is a big help, and we get good feedback about it. We haven't really had any problems, and I think it's just it's another way. Once you train your mind to a different way of thinking, it's amazing. We just adapt to it and move on. It definitely 5 years ago that wouldn't have been in our town, and every year we're growing it and growing it every year.
And finally, Suzanne, and I ask you to get right close up to that mic beside you there. Suzanne, in terms of your work, you're environmental officer with Donegal County Council. I'll be honest, over the years, and we've spoken on a number of occasions over the years in your professional role, I would always have said, Suzanne, oh yeah, she's waste management. But again, just like Gerard said, it's way beyond just waste management. There's more to your job than that.
That's right. I suppose the focus is primarily around waste and educating people on recycling, composting, and today happens, this week happens to be actually National Food Waste Recycling Week. So we're actually set up, if I can plug, we're set up at our recycling centres for the next 3 days, Letterkenny currently until 12 o'clock today, and then Dunloe from 2 to 4. And what we're doing there is actually promoting food waste recycling and tying in with our partners, Bryson Recycling and Envirogrind, who are providing free compost as well, which has actually been made from recycled food waste. So I have a list of dates and times, and maybe before we finish up, if we can go through them, Donal, that'd be great.
Absolutely,
But again, yeah, I suppose my role is focused around waste, but it does cover sort of the wider environmental issues, and we work closely with a lot of fantastic volunteers out in the local communities, around our beaches, in our towns and villages all over the county, and like that, they're doing what they can to help make their environment better. Today is actually also the launch of Love This Place, Leave No Trace campaign, which will be a summer campaign and we're partnering as a supporter as well of that campaign, and there'll be a huge focus on everybody just taking that little bit of responsibility to look after their environment over the course of the summer, now that we're in that time of year.
Let's go back to you, Donna Marie, and let's go back to that ecological footprint calculator. Now, I also want to say, and I will say this, and I will say this up front, I am quite sure that much as I would sort of regard myself as someone who recycles and someone who composts and someone who puts out the right bin at the right time on the right day, I quite possibly would do this survey, and I too, I'm sure, will find myself lacking and find myself falling behind what I would have thought would be my score. So I think if you were somewhat surprised at your score, I suspect we may well all find ourselves in the same boat.
Absolutely. So you can go on again. This is on our webpage. I completed the survey, and I'm going to do it halfway and at the end, and hopefully we'll get a bit of a better result. So if everybody lived their life like I do, it would take 5.7 Earths to sustain humanity. I was absolutely mortified by this. So it takes into account like your travelling, things like recycling, but also your house type. How many people live there? Do you carpool? And one thing that kind of struck me whenever I was doing this footprint was it asked about how much you travel by plane or the hours, which whenever I kind of was thinking about sustainability myself and what I do as a person, never really thought about that much. So I was thinking, right, oh, I went to Germany this year and I went to Amsterdam and I'm planning hopefully to go to Portugal. And it put me way up over the average. But again, it will give you a breakdown. My ecological footprint was 9.3 global hectares. My carbon footprint was 15 tons per year. And that made up 56% of my total of why it's going to take nearly six planets to sustain me if everyone lived that way.
Well, I will make a commitment. I will do the test today, and okay. I will announce tomorrow what mine is.
Okay, well, it's open to everyone. It's there. It's on our website. We have also shared it onto our socials as well. you will be, but it asks you at the end, how do you feel about it? And I had all these like proud, and I was like, no, embarrassed, so embarrassed. But then it also gives you things that you can do to help kind of track that back and reverse it. So, you know, it's not like a point in blame and shame thing. Like, it is something that we all need to kind of have a look at, which is the purpose of this wee segment. So hopefully we'll...
And Angus, I suspect most of us would find ourselves wanting if we were to do a survey like that.
All of us in Ireland, or virtually everybody at least in Ireland. And it's a really important point that Donna Marie just made there. It's not a blame thing. Instead, it's an accepting of this is how it is. This is the reality. We're burning fossil fuels at a ferocious rate. We're heating up the planet, and there's all sorts of consequences for that. That's it. That's not your fault or my fault. It's the way our society's been set up. And especially in a place like Donegal, quite often these conversations, immediately people are saying, well, how am I supposed to heat my home? How am I supposed to get to work? We can't change this immediately, but we can start taking steps. And it's not about saying that this person is bad or that person's doing the wrong thing, but it's about accepting what we're doing is not sustainable. We can't keep doing what we're doing, and we have to start making changes. And it was interesting, I saw a change just as I pulled up here in my petrol car. I am getting to the studio. I saw an electric post van I'm dropping off, and I was chatting to the postman, and most of the fleet, he was saying, around Donegal is electric, and they're able to do it, they're able to manage it, and it's working for them. I was in Glenveagh National Park there recently. Their buses are electric. They don't need to charge them every night, despite the fact they're going up and down to the castle flat out all day. At this time of year, they're going off doing school trips and picking up school groups and whatnot. It's a wonderful service. Those changes are coming, and they're coming little by little. We won't change it all by tomorrow, but it's really important we inform ourselves that it's the inevitable.
Gerard, Tip O'Neill was the politician who came up with that great phrase that the secret of politics was to think globally and act locally. And if ever there was something that phrase maybe was designed for, it's for our reaction to this very topic.
I think so. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I was driving up here myself and trying to think about how it's such a broad, sustainability is so broad. I mean, you could talk for hours and not cover everything, but, you know, we've had an idea in our committee that we're trying to launch. We have launched it, but we want to do a lot more about it. And it's called The Power of One. And it's, you know, as a community, as Inga says, some of the things that we don't have control over, but there are things that we ourselves have control over, ourselves personally, and that's the idea of power of one. What can you do in your life to improve it? And if enough people collectively do that, you can make a change. And I do think that, you know, it's a lot more, this idea of sustainability and what we do with our planet, there's a lot more debate about it than there was a few years ago. I think that's a very, very good thing. I don't think it's a thing you solve overnight. But I think the more debate about it, the more people will think about what they can do and the small changes they make, and they all add up. And I think that's the way to go about it. I don't know how you go about it.
And the thing about the power of one, though, is a lot of people, and this is an argument you hear time and again, and I will be honest, I've maybe in my own head used this to justify the fact that I'm going on holiday this year on a cruise ship. Yeah. And I know, and there's a voice in the back of my mind going, And I'm thinking, yeah, but there's coal power stations in China that will create more environmental damage in 5 minutes than I will do in my lifetime. And that's kind of like my almost, I won't say justification, but that's the little voice in the back of my head going, no, it's okay, because, I mean, the problem isn't me. The problem is a big, huge coal-powered factory in China. The problem is a big, huge dam in India. The problem is over there. It's in Russia. It's in China. It's in India. It's not little old me. Yeah. And I think a lot of us have that little voice in the backs of our heads. And it's, let's be honest, it's a liar.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the challenge we all have.
Yeah, if I can come in there, and there's a great phrase in the North, and you hear them trying to trash out their politics in the North over the last year or two in particular, and there's a great phrase, whataboutery. And somebody says, well, you lot did this, and they go, well, you lot did this. And that's what we're doing if we're blaming other countries. It's just whataboutery. We're the second highest emitters of carbon in all of Europe. And Europe, of course, is a developed country, so we emit a huge amount of carbon. And currently the world, with the changing climate, and we can see those changes going on, we can even feel them in Ireland, but we can see them especially around the rest of the world is around about 1.2 degrees warmer than my granddad's time. 1.2 degrees warmer. We've done that. We've heated up planet Earth. If everybody lived like Irish people, if everybody lived like Donna Maria and me and the rest of us and everybody listening here, the world would be 4 degrees warmer. Because that's how much more polluting we are than so many people. So we need to look after our own house. That's really, really important. But as Gerard was saying there, we need to get the message out. You do what you can personally, but we still have to live. But the more we can talk about it, the more we can discuss it, the braver our politicians are going to get, because at the end of the day, they're going to be the ones that are going to make the biggest changes and guide us, like things like that, electric fleet for on-post and so on.
And Suzanne, you're one of the people who's at the point where services you're in charge of providing at a local level gives people the opportunity to go to a recycling centre, to actually avail of the services that are on our doorstep. And even if everyone did that, it would be a start.
Absolutely. And I mean, it can be a little overwhelming when we think about everything that's going on. But I think it's really important that we do bring it back to what we can all do, as Gerard said, the power of one, because it makes it more manageable for everybody to have an impact. And if you have the services provided, the majority of people will come along with you and use them, you know. So the council own a number of recycling centres across the county operated by Bryson. A very wide range of materials can be brought there for recycling. Next week, actually, we're having half price bulky goods promotions for 2 weeks. So keep an eye out on our social pages and the press for that. And again, just trying to ensure people manage their waste responsibly, use the recycling services of their local waste collectors. And in particular, this week, Food Waste Recycling Week, they're, you know, taking part in a food waste collection provided by your waste collector is the first step. And then that material is actually getting treated industrially and made into a compost again that we can use. So the circularity there, and keeping, I suppose, when it comes to waste, and I probably talk a little bit more about waste than other areas, but, you know, we sort of have, we've taken it, we've used it, and we've gotten rid of it for a lot of years. And we're trying to get that whole area of circular into our vocabulary now as well, and into our actions, so that we're keeping what we have in use as much as we possibly can. So whether it's about thinking about getting something fixed or repaired, or reusing something again, and then recycling what we can as well, that's so important, so that we're not having stuff to get rid of at the end of it, that we're trying to use as much as we can. And that could be as simple as, you know, donating clothes to your local charity shop. You know, that's so important as well. That simple action that every household in Donegal can do, and that has such a positive impact as well. Getting something repaired rather than going out and getting something brand new again. Recycling all of those electronics, white goods that we have in our homes as well. Mm-hmm. Making sure that we do the right thing with them. There's so many very manageable actions that everybody can take. Even if it's visiting your local beach and you mightn't have the time to do a cleanup, but if you see a 3 pieces of plastic, you know, just pick up those 3 pieces of plastic and pop them into the bin. And all those small actions have a huge positive impact.
Well, I have said this on the programme before, and I'll say it again. I know a gentleman who happens to be the chair of a Tidy Towns competition. I'm out walking most mornings, and I very often bump into him. And inevitably, I bump into him as he's walking back to his house, and he's got 3 or 4 pieces of litter in his hand that he's picked up off the street. And that is it in action. And I've said it before, Gerard, and I'll say it before, fair play to you, because you are actually doing what you're asking everybody else to do. And, you know, it is the truth. Most mornings I see you've got 3 or 4 pieces of litter in your hand that you've picked up.
My wife says I know every bin in the town.
Well, I have no doubt. But that is, and that's really, as we said, you think globally, you act locally. That's bringing it right down. Mm. And you know, it does need to be said. And maybe all of us could pick something up and put it in a bin, or do something as simple as that. And if we all do something as simple as that, you know, it is. And I know, Gerry, we were speaking about the pollinator programme that the Tidy Towns is supporting here in Letterkenny in particular. But I know too, Suzanne, that the council is involved in pollinator programmes around the county, and certainly in the show in Buncrana. I know Buncrana Cairn, there's a very strong pollinator sort of campaign working up there as well. And I'm sure you want to see that spread right across the county.
That's right. And it is linking with our local communities across the county as well. You know, there's so many proactive community groups and Tidy Towns groups and schools. You know, we just recently Had our Green Schools Awards here, where we had 40 schools being recognised for their achievements in environmental issues, from litter and waste right across the board to biodiversity, travel, caring for a marine environment. So those communities and schools are very, very active, and where we can, the council will support them as best as they can.
Donna Marie, going back to yourself and the actual podcast and the content. Yes. I mean, obviously, it's going to be, as you say, every Thursday or every Tuesday. Every Tuesday, yes. 12:30 during the Nine Till Noon show. Obviously, you've got three great guests right here, mm-hmm. but there's going to be a lot more people on, both locally and nationally as well. Give us a flavour of what we can expect in the coming weeks.
Well, we're going to be looking at things like fast fashion. Starting off next week, we have Miranda Rosenberg, and she runs the TikTok called Homestead Donegal, and she has 500,000 followers on there, and she goes through she just shows her daily life of what she does and what we can do. We're going to look at real simple things on how people can get a start on their own journey. One thing that I would like to say is that there's like a pitfall almost whenever people think, right, okay, I'm going to do this now, I'm going to live sustainably, and they go and they clear the house, they red the house, they say, great, that's not sustainable, getting rid of that there, and they'll go out and buy their bamboo cutlery, their bamboo lunchboxes, this, that and the other, and it's a whole lot of the time, it's like that's not the first step to take. It's like it's greenwashed. Like you're greenwashed and thinking, this is how I'm going to start this. It doesn't have to be a costly thing. If anything, if you do make the decision to move to a more sustainable lifestyle, you'll save a lot of money. So we'll be talking about things like that there, especially with the cost of living crisis. I'm as presenting this here anyway. What I'm bearing in mind is not only can people live more sustainable, but how will it benefit you in other ways of your life? Because it has to be something that you can take home. Think about it and apply it. It has to be simple things that you can do. So we'll have lots of little tips and tricks. Will be the thing.
Excellent. A few questions. Well, there's one question in particular I'm going to put to the panel because I'm stumped. And we spoke about pollination programs earlier. There's one caller wants to get right to the heart of it. Someone asking, where can I purchase beehives? Someone wants to get into beekeeping. Angus, this might be one for yourself.
Yeah, beekeeping is certainly growing in popularity. So have a look. Google Donegal Beekeeping Association or the National Beekeeping Associations, of which there are many, many regional ones. There's the national one, and they'll be able to point you in the direction of a beehive and how to start off that journey. Because you need a bit of training, you need to know what you're doing. But crucially, I would say, sometimes people think, I need to get I want to get honeybees and I want to do my bit for pollination. What are the honeybees going to eat? So before you even do that, Google, go off to the nursery or start looking around your own garden today and start thinking, well, where would the bees go? What are they going to eat? Are you relying on neighbours having enough food? And it's not just the honeybee. We've one species of honeybee in Ireland. We've over 100 species of wild bees, bumblebees and solitary bees. And they all need the same thing and they all pollinate our crops. So the most important thing is getting the food sources in them, making sure you've plenty of colour in the garden.
So it is an ecosystem, and you have to understand the ecosystem before you introduce another factor into that ecosystem.
Yeah, just say you wouldn't buy a herd of cattle if you didn't have fields to put them in. And it's the same kind of thing. People sometimes rush into that. And tying into the No Mow May, and we should be all trying to leave little patches, little wild areas in our garden. And it doesn't mean you have to rewild or walk away or abandon the land. But if each and every one of us left a patch, a bumblebee, for instance, will fly for about 500 metres before it'll collapse out of hunger. So we all need to have little patches of wildflowers for those bees, for the honeybees that we might keep or for the wild bees that are there.
Mm-hmm. Caller asking, what's the website for the test? Donna Marie, they can access through our own website, highlandradio.com?
Yeah, if you go on to our website, highlandradio.com, there will be the It's Ours to Protect section on there. Alternatively, you can go, it's ourstoprotect.ie, and it will also have the link there, and it's called the Sustainability Eco Footprint, Digital Footprint Survey.
And just a note, there's an environmental musical on this Saturday in Bunkrana. Free admission, and that's part of Cuin Uinn Nóg. And if you wish to go to that, you are absolutely welcome. Now, just before we wrap up, Suzanne, did you say you had one or two things you wanted to mention before we go?
If I could, just to mention, we're having free compost giveaways and food waste recycling starter packs. We're distributing those across the recycling centres over the next number of days. So Letterkenny, another half an hour or so, and we'll be finishing up in Letterkenny Recycling Centre. Then moving on to Dunloe this afternoon from 2 to 4. Tomorrow, 7th of June, Carndonagh, 10 to 12. Milford Recycling Centre, 2 to 4. And these are at all the Bryson Recycling Centres. And then finally on Thursday, the 8th of June, Lahey Recycling Centre from 10:30 to 12:30. And then finally, Stranorla Recycling Centre from 2 to 4. So just to promote using your food waste, using your waste collection service for food waste, and then actually getting yourself a bag of compost generated from food waste as well.
Thank you indeed, Suzanne. Jared, the work of the Tidy Towns Committee continuing in Letterkenny, and I suppose no help ever turned away?
No help ever turned away, no. So we have, we're always looking for volunteers. A couple of volunteers are working hard in Ardonagh today as I was driving past, planting there. And this is our really busy period, and there's a lot of work happening on the ground. And actually, it's a great opportunity for me to thank all the volunteers, because without them, we would be lost. So.
And Angus, you're, as we said, a regular guest with John on Around the Northwest, and no doubt you'll be taking the opportunity as we go ahead to remind people at every juncture of the potential we have to help our environment, to help our ecosystems, and ensure that, you know, that again, going back to that sort of acting locally while thinking globally, that there is a lot we can do, and we can do it in our own areas.
There's a huge amount we can do as individuals, and there's a huge amount of it's very pleasurable. A huge amount of looking after your garden, especially when the weather's like this, is a fantastic thing to do. And improving our own towns, getting involved with Tidy Towns groups, getting involved with other community groups, is a social and a wonderful thing to do as well. But crucially and really importantly, I think, is us as individuals won't solve it all on our own. We can all do our bit. But by doing our bit, we're raising awareness. Tell our politicians. Some of our politicians have got it. Some of our politicians still don't seem to have got this message. Sometimes it's left to some small parties and we think that's a special remit for them. It's not. It's each and every one of us. And they're the ones that can really steer our change. There's a new plastic bottle recycling scheme is going to be coming in soon, for instance. These are the kind of system changes that we can't do. And hopefully Tidy Towns groups won't have to pick up as many plastic bottles when that comes in. But tell your politicians, tell them that this is an important issue. It's just as important as the other more, the kind of the immediate issues that we hear about on the news.
Jared, Angus, Suzanne, thank you, all three of you, very much indeed. And Donna Marie, all the best with the podcast, and the first episode can be heard
at 12:30 on Tuesday coming this day week here on Highland Radio, and then it will also be for playback on the website.
And just remind you that Ours to Protect, which is looking at issues of sustainability, will begin on Highland Radio on this day week. Tuesday, it's the 13th of June, and it'll be on at 12:30.
Ours to Protect is brought to you by Highland Radio, the IBA, and funded by Commission na Mann with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Now, before we go any further, a few quick comments. Cora says, China causes more pollution in one day than we do in a month. Not a word about it. It's the planet evolving just a bit quicker, so says a caller. Another caller says, windmills all over the place. Electricity is more expensive. Now, we spoke earlier to Geraldine from the community creche, and Cora says, my heart breaks for the people who need the community creche and the families who use it. But how are the people of Donegal going to fund the hundreds of creches, schools, clubs and community centres affected with mica and other defective blocks? It's a really worrying thing. It needs to be highlighted and talked about honestly by government, and they need to get pressure put on them by the management of these facilities. That's an interesting point. Caller says, could you please wish my parents, Ronald Marlene Crawford, a very happy 50th anniversary today. Love from all of us. We spoke earlier to Tony and Sean about the Dunfanaghy Golf Club Challenge. Wishing Tony all the best of luck. That's from Liam Lynch in Buncrana. And to Tony McGilloway and all at Dunfanaghy Golf Club, good luck with the event. And that's from all in Dunloe Community Hospital. Now, we are joined in studio by two special guests. I have Martin McDemmitt, who's Assistant Community Development Manager at DLDC, and also Dr. Jim Admee, who is a community volunteer with MEVA Day Centre. Gentlemen, you are both very welcome indeed. DLDC is starting a campaign to highlight the need for community volunteers for daycare centres across Donegal. And going to Dr. Dermot first, who is a community volunteer with the day centre in MEVA. Dermot, this is very important work.
It is really, because we're providing day services for older people in the community, and it's provided by the community itself. It's a very local service. And basically, older people who otherwise, it gives them an opportunity to meet up with friends from their younger days and make new friends, have a meal together, have some entertainment, some educational and physical activities. And it's great for the physical and mental health, and it's also great for giving jobs in the area.
And I'm sure too, from the point of view of the volunteers who go in there, they get to know the people there on a day-to-day basis. And I'm sure relationships form, and it becomes a very important part of the lives of the people who are in there. Some of those people perhaps don't have families at home. For some of those people, it may be the main social interaction they have over the course of a day. And from that point of view, it's a hugely important thing to them.
It's very important to them. Yes, it keeps them grounded in their community. And also it spreads information about the community throughout the place. People exchange news and views. It keeps them in contact. And it's just great for mental health and well-being. And it's great for the people who volunteer and help there, and they give something back to the community.
Martin, as the Assistant Community Development Manager at DLDC, obviously you're looking at coordinating this across the county. This is hugely important work, isn't it?
It is, yeah, extremely important, because like, we lead up a network for the Care of the Aged committees in our area, and it became very evident that, you know, a lot of the public don't know that the day centres are run by volunteers, and that is a voluntary committee that are involved in overseeing that whole governance and operation. So what we identified was the need for this recruitment drive for volunteers, because some Care of the Aged committees and the day centres, they, you know, there's ones there that are maybe they're quite, you know, complementary with the number of committee members they have, but there's others that are struggling. And it's the theme of this has been part of your continuation of the community story, in that you can be play a role and be part of that. And it's really important for us to make a you know, kind of like a whole kind of regional campaign for this. What'll happen then is that hopefully with a good positive response, we will be able to filter through where the requests for volunteers are coming from, and then be able to place them accordingly into those committees that need extra support.
And the idea you have is that these voluntary committee members will actually play a part in the hiring of staff, the running of the centre. So you're looking at people that might have maybe expertise in law, accountancy, management, that sort of area. We're looking for people really who will donate these skills on a voluntary basis to actually help run the centres and ensure they run to their best efficiency.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, we're not defined, like, there are some examples of some of the skills that would be needed. But committees are a group of people. So, you know, you may have one particular skill and Dermot has another and I have another, you know, so when you come together, you're able to collectively, you know, have a good set of skills between everybody to be able to run the centre efficiently. And then what we do then as DLDC, we do provide that additional support in terms of governance and compliance if you're reporting to charities, regulator and so on. So that, you know, there's the committee people themselves and the skills that they bring, but it's not to be like, you know, don't be put off if you're not skilled in IT or HR or whatever. Like, you know, we're open and welcome to any offers of volunteer interest.
And Jim, from the point of view of what Martin is saying there, as someone who yourself sits on a committee, I mean, you know, that is a committee has got to have that diversity of skills, and a well-run centre is a centre that's going to have people running it who know what they're doing, and most importantly, have a situation where you have your skill and you can put that to best use. I may have a different skill, I can put that to best use. And if you have a group of people, each working together at their best efficiency, that's going to mean the centre is going to run at its best efficiency. And a well-run centre is a centre that's going to provide the best possible service to those who are using it. And ultimately, that's what you're there for, to make sure that the people coming into these centres are given the best service possible.
That's right. You want something where you're running the centre to a high standard. We really need people on the committee who live in the area and always contributed to it. We don't want to lose sight of that. But there would be people living in the community who have the particular skills we need in HR, finance, law, etc., who might want to give something back to the community they live in to maintain it. There might be somebody listening now who has a mother or a father who attends the day centre, but they might have a son, a daughter or a partner who works in an office, and they might make a wee suggestion to them this evening, why don't you volunteer to help out this day centre in your area? Or you might be somebody with a skill who's moved to that area, wants to contribute to the community. And again, this is a good way an opportunity of contributing to the community that you now live and work in.
And Martin, the centres may be voluntary, they may be run on a voluntary basis, they may be staffed by people who are there as volunteers, but they're still subject to regulation, they are subject to insurance, they are subject to all the checks and balances that any centre offering services of a caring nature are going to be subjected to. And just because it's voluntary doesn't mean it's immune from any of the bureaucracy.
Yeah, and that's right. You know, and as we were saying earlier, like, you know, there might be this maybe view that the day centres are run by the HSC or they're operated or managed by that. You know, we have day centres that might be run in a private capacity. Some are funded. There's a different kind of level for each one. But ultimately, everyone is trying to provide a good service to the older people in their community. And yes, you're correct. There are like a lot of reports to do. There's a lot of compliance that you have to fulfil. And that's not to put off people by volunteering, because when you share this workload out, that's only like maybe one element of it. And where you have more people, rather than it's just maybe two or three on a committee, so where you have more people on the committee and then alongside with the support that we provide in the governance capacity to the committee members, like, eventually then it's everyone plays their part and there's great teamwork and camaraderie. And as we were saying earlier, you know, it's great to have that reward then to say that, you know, I've helped and I've played my part. And just as an example, as Jeremy was saying, like, you know, there could be grandchildren of people using the day centre. You know, there's young adults out there that, you know, maybe have a variety of skills. And even if it is only 1 hour a week, or as we say in the advertisement and the campaign that we're doing, is, you know, up to 4 hours a month, you know, to attend maybe a committee meeting. And it's not a lot of time, but if you do have that time, then please try and give it. And it's where, you know, even having any particular skill at all will be able to help and play your part.
Martin, thanks very much indeed. Diarmaid, I want to give the final word to yourself, Dr. Diarmaid Mee, as a committee volunteer with the day centre in MIVA. I mean, these centres operate and survive and persevere because of the people behind them, and this is very much a people-centred enterprise.
It is, really. There are volunteers helping out in the day centre, you know, helping to bring people to the centre, working with them there. There are volunteers who actually run it and manage it, because it is, you are managing a small enterprise, and you're actually giving everything back to the community. All the money that comes into the day centre goes back to the community. So you are supporting it. And you're just helping the community to grow, to survive, and you get a great feeling of having made a major contribution. And it's 3 or 4 hours of a month where you can put your skills and knowledge to use in a regulated and correct way, but with less pressure than you'd have in a work environment. There's a fantastic sense of satisfaction, fantastic sense of cooperation, and you can see immediate results in the happiness and smiles of the people attending the day centre.
And in a very real way, in most cases, the people attending that centre have built and sustained that community for decades, and maybe now it's the community's turn to sustain them.
Yes, and that's really how it works. We're all in it together. We're one big family. We're all friends and neighbours. Donegal's a fantastic place to live in, because you do have a strong community spirit here you mightn't have in other places. Day centres are an important part of that.
Martin, the nuts and bolts of, if someone out there is interested in helping themselves or perhaps cajoling their relatives to help, as was suggested, how can people get in touch? What do they need to do in order to register that interest?
Yeah, so they can give us a call to the LDC main office here in Letterkenny. So they can give us a call. That number is 07491 27056, and that inquiry then will be passed on to ourselves at the community development team, and then there'd be a process involved then, Donald, such as like where you are and where the day centres are and so on. Obviously your listenership spans a massive geographical area, and so does our day centre network, so it's trying to match that when we get all those inquiries coming in after this today.
And finally, something of a busy day for the LDC today.
Yes, we do. We have the minister arriving later on this evening, and which we're delighted with, so we'll see you there too, hopefully.
Yep, I'll put my news hat back on again this evening, yeah. I think, and go down and cover that one. In the meantime, Martin McDevitt, the Assistant Community Development Manager at DLDC, and Dr. Diarmaid Mee, a community volunteer with MIVA Day Centre, thank you both very much indeed. And you're welcome back to the final segment of the 9 till noon show for this Tuesday morning. We're going to go back to the issues of sustainability and solidarity. We spoke earlier to Donna Marie about the Hours to Protect podcast, which will run on Highland Radio from next week. And we also have a event coming up on this coming Friday, June 9th. It's the annual Changemakers Donegal Seminar, and sustainability and solidarity will be to the fore of that discussion. Delighted to say we're joined on Zoom by Myra McAuliffe, the coordinator of Changemakers. And in a moment, we'll be speaking to David O'Hare, who is a communications officer and internal communications specialist with Trokara. So we're going first going to go to Myra, who's joining us on Zoom. Myra, very good morning to you.
Hello, how are you?
Very well indeed, thanks. Myra, first of all, this seminar that's coming up at the Station House in Letterkenny on Friday. Tell us about the seminar and what issues are going to be discussed.
Yes, thank you. So our seminar theme for this year is sustainability and solidarity. And really, we're encouraging people to focus on the sustainable development goals, ultimately to improve the lives and prospects of people all around the world at a time when inequality is increasing and temperatures are rising.
And you're going to be speaking to organisations like World Resources Institute Africa, Trokara, as we've said, plus they're bringing in a number of local groups as well to give their perspectives.
Yes, so we have a programme called the Seeds of Change programme, where we support local community groups by giving them some funding, but also pairing them with a Changemakers mentor to look at issues of sustainability and how these local actions can think globally.
Now, one of Changemakers' partner organisations is Trokara, and David O'Hare is Communications Officer and Internal Communications Specialist with Trokara. David, a very good morning to you.
Donal, good morning. Great to see you.
You too. Now, you will be speaking specifically at the seminar about your recent trip to Somalia and the effects that climate change is having there. Now, we have discussed Somalia in the past in terms of famine and in terms of the political situation there, and there have been issues, as we know. But climate change now really something that's being felt in Africa, and maybe it's being felt in countries like Somalia without the attention being paid to it there that's starting to be paid, albeit slowly, in places like Ireland and Europe.
Absolutely, and I'm absolutely delighted to be invited up on Friday to the event to speak to people. So really what I'll be doing, Donal, is giving a first-hand account, a personal account of what I saw on the ground in Somalia. And I returned a few weeks ago now, but Somalia, when I was there, is in the grip of the worst drought in 40 years. And it's all fueled by climate change. I've worked for Trokara for 18 years, Donal. I've been to many humanitarian situations. I've never been in a situation as catastrophic as that one in Somalia at the moment. So half the population in Somalia, over 8 million people, are actually facing starvation, chronic malnutrition and starvation. And to put in context for the listeners, that's more obviously than the entire population of our island here at home. So I was able to speak to the people there, hear what they're going through. 40,000 people died last year alone. And as you've rightly said, it's not getting the attention internationally that it deserves. I was very privileged to be able to sit with people and talk to them about what they have been through and the challenges they faced. I spoke to one mother who said she had to leave her home. Over 4 million people have had to leave home in Somalia, basically because their livestock has died, their crops have died, they have no other way of feeding themselves. So they're making what they call the long walk, and that's how they describe it, sometimes over 100 kilometres, to try to get to IDP camps, so these internally displaced people's camps, just to see if they can get some emergency food aid to save themselves and their children. One mother told me that she had actually lost 3 of her children. She had to, and this is very stark, but it is the reality, she actually lost one child on the journey from home to the camp. So this is the human face of the tragedy that's going on there at the moment. Trokara's been there for over 30 years, and we actually run the only healthcare services in a region the size of Ireland, Donal, a place called Gedo. And we're called the mother of health by the people of Gedo. So we have clinics, we have health centres, we have outreach posts, and there is hope amidst the tragedy. because we're saving lives every day. We're seeing thousands of people every week coming through those facilities. It has gotten worse recently, but we're there on the ground saving lives, particularly young children and mothers. And that wouldn't be possible without the support of your listeners, the people of Ireland, and also, of course, Irish aid through the Irish government.
Myra, in terms of the issues that are going to be discussed at the event on Friday, as well as having organisations like Throkara and Self Help Africa and so on, you're going to have local organisations as well, local people giving their perspectives. The hope always is going to be that by acting more here, you could do more to help in places like Somalia. Is it your hope that, that's what's going to come out of the conference, that we'll get ways that we can actually help in a very practical way that will make David's job easier and make the job of the other agencies over in places like Somalia easier?
Yes, that's it. I mean, at its root, it's that connection between local and global, and helping people to recognise at an urgent time that, you know, local issues are global issues, and we all have our part to play, no more than the discussion about sustainability. But it's looking at actions like, for example, Dunfanaghy Family Resource Centre as part of the Seeds of Change programme brought people together to understand the economic systems that are active in Ireland in the world, and ended up in a conversation about the value of unpaid caring. So it's helping people to understand their community, their society, and to ask questions about that society in order to bring about changes to make it more equal for everyone in the world.
And speaking of Dunfanaghy, one of the things you've been pushing very much is the move toward fair trade. And we know Donegal County Council is talking about becoming a fair trade organisation. We've got a number of designated fair trade towns in Donegal. There's more being done in that respect. Now, ultimately, the hope is that designating fair trade towns and fair trade organisations is going to feed into ensuring that farmers in countries like Somalia are in a sustainable situation. But now what David is telling us, obviously, because of the drought situation over there, that's a horrendous situation, that perhaps, you know, fair trade, it's going to go beyond that to find a resolution. But hopefully those changes can be made. David, I want to go back to you and perhaps give you the final word, because the work you're doing on the ground is going to be in some way hopefully helped and informed by what's being done by people like Myra in counties like Donegal. And I suppose it can only be to the good. The more you get done in terms of fair trade, the more you get done in terms of conferences and seminars like this, the more it's going to feed into a global discussion and ultimately maybe get the sort of global changes necessary to help countries like Somalia.
Absolutely. In your previous discussion around sustainability, Donal, you used the phrase, think globally, act locally. And that's why the work of change makers is so important, because for Trokra, it's not a question of charity. It's a question of justice. And people in Somalia, they've contributed 0.08% to global emissions, and yet they're one of the most at-risk countries. So again, it's a question of those who've done least to contribute to climate change are suffering most. So the work change makers and others are doing is absolutely vital if we're going to tackle this problem.
David O'Hare, Communications Officer and Internal Communications Specialist with Throkara, and Myra McAuliffe, the Changemakers Coordinator in Donegal. Thank you both very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. That event taking place at the Station House Hotel in Letterkenny on this coming Friday. Myra, open to everybody?
Yes, absolutely. Open to everyone. And you can visit our website, changemakers.ie, to find the Eventbrite link. Thank you.
Myra, David, thank you both. Much indeed. That's it for the 9 till noon show for today. John Breslin's up next around the Northwest. We will have Caroline Orr. Caroline Orr did produce, and Niamh took your calls as well. Thank you to both of them. Thank you to all our contributors. Thank you to those who listened and took part in the programme. Most importantly, thank you to you. For myself, Donal Kavanagh, have a very good day.